This month, the Canadian ambassador to Prague, Michael Calcott, hosted a panel discussion at the Canadian residence recalling cooperation between Czech dissidents and Canadian officials in the years leading up to the fall of communism. During the mid-1980s, the end of the period known as the normalization, key officials at the embassy went out on a limb, risking careers to help dissidents and their cause, even going so far as to smuggle dissident writing known as samizdat in and out of the country. Documents included everything from personal correspondence to political and philosophical tracts to novels and plays, authored by members of the dissident movement that included Václav Havel. The event held at the Canadian residence was unusual since it was the first time in quite a while that former members of the dissident movement were able to reunite with the former diplomats, some of whom they hadn't seen in years. Pierre Guimond, now the Canadian ambassador to Hungary and Slovenia, was a political officer at the Canadian embassy in 1988. I asked Ambassador Guimond how it felt to be back in Prague and to describe the period of the Velvet Revolution he and others saw firsthand.
These were moving days and moving times. Of course, to be back in Prague now, this is, I think, my third, fourth time since I left in 1990. To come back and see Václav Havel and Karl Schwarzenberg and Jan Urban and Peter Uhl and many people that I met on a regular basis when I was here is touching, even if it would not be about the Velvet Revolution. This was, for me, of course, a very moving time because we felt that we were part of something much bigger. And to be there at the time, it was so intense that I'm not sure that every day we knew fully what the big picture was. But we certainly knew that something massive was happening. The big picture of things, it was hard to see because there was so much happening at the time.
Until the fall of communism in 1989, the Canadian embassy had been an important pillar of support for many Czech dissidents like Jiřina Šiklova and others. Jan Urban affectionately called key service officers like Mr. Guimond and his predecessor Peter Bakewell cowboys for help that certainly broke at least some written rules of diplomatic conduct. Jan Urban even went so far as to call the meeting an unprecedented diplomatic coming out. But the former embassy officials made clear their decision, like that of Czech dissidents, was one of higher moral necessity. All felt the risk of being found out by the Communist Secret Police, the STB, but said the risk of being expelled was worth it. Even if Ottawa wasn't aware of all the details, Pierre Guimond says he and other diplomats' approaches were, of course, consistent with Canada's aims.
I'm not sure if a foreign government can plan, a foreign ministry can plan activities of this sort by their ambassadors abroad. The diplomats have, within the policy of the government, of course, they have to know where the government wants to go in terms of its foreign policy. And then the ambassador is responsible for delivering the policy and the activity operations of the embassy that would contribute to this policy of the government. But it's impossible for people in the capital city to decide that you should go to all the demonstration and you should do this, you should do that. So they know, the foreign ministry knows what we do because we, of course, send regular reports. We've learned this, we've done that. We call this result-based diplomacy. So it's not an events-based diplomacy. It's not because we have been to 36 demonstrations that anything will happen. We do that because something we know will happen out of those demonstrations, and we see the result today. The people have been telling us at the time that they were very happy to see us at the demonstration because they felt that it was known outside, which now, of course, hardly happens in Burma. We were also very active in attending political trials because then they would know that the world knew about them and that if something was to happen to them, there would be a protest, etc. There was a variety of activities that we did, but the ultimate aim was to do what the government wanted us to do, which was to promote the fact that all the communist countries of the time had signed the Helsinki document, because then we could argue on that basis that they were doing wrong.
Pierre Guimond's predecessor Peter Bakewell was posted to the Canadian embassy in Prague in 1986. He also fostered close ties with dissidents like Mrs. Šiklova, Mr. Havel, and others, and even helped smuggle texts in and out of the country in his own vehicle. This is how he described his decision to help.
Well, it was a big decision and a tremendous amount of stress particularly as I was not just a diplomat but also a family man and had my family's situation to consider when I undertook to do this kind of work. I think in the two or three years following my time in Czechoslovakia, I experienced a kind of exhaustion, a physical exhaustion that was a legacy of that time, but I never for once regretted having worked with the people that I worked with and made my contribution to the subsequent collapse of communism, which was a system I grew to abhor while I was here.
According to Mr. Bakewell, he and his contacts took the utmost precaution in pickups from dissidents, but even so came ever so close to being caught.
We were very, very careful about our communications, both here in Prague and with the outside, on the subject of moving materials backwards and forwards. But we observed a high degree of security, not just here in Czechoslovakia, but also in West Germany. We rarely met in the same place twice. Willem and I would move around from place to place, and but here we were even more strict. And Jiřina Šiklová, who was the essential person in the process here in Czechoslovakia, would always make sure that we were in a different place. We would move the items extremely quickly. She always had two or three very strong young men and they would be moved rapidly from my vehicle to somebody else's vehicle. And I think that's why it probably took STB quite a long time to figure out what was going on. And I was completely unaware that they had managed to figure out what was going on until Willem Prechan told me about the STB report on me. And it looks like I was extremely lucky that I was not expelled at that point.
Czech-Canadian Professor Markéta Goetz-Stankovic, a specialist in Czech as well as German and Polish literature at the University of British Columbia, also became involved in smuggling of samizdat, almost by chance. She also kept contacts at the embassy, and she says she also felt a kind of higher duty. Today, this is how she modestly sums up her role.
I had been teaching literature, 19th century at UBC, for years, but somehow I felt this was it was unreal. It was academic. No, not all academic things are unreal, but many of them are. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I stepped into this living situation in which I felt I could possibly do something for people, for the cause. And so that's what I did. But I got more and more involved. I felt responsible, you know, I felt responsibility, although I'm just a little fish from Vancouver, what can I do? But still, so then I wrote a bit, you know, did some books in order to bring a bit of awareness into the world. So that's how it went. And I was extremely lucky.
Certainly the samizdat meant a lot. On one hand, you have the literary quality of the documents themselves, of the books, the stories, the plays.
Yeah.
On the other, you have the important moral relevance.
Yes.
How do you divide between the two, if you do, in fact, divide?
I don't think you do divide, because in the literary works that you are trying to publish or whatever that you are reading, you feel a profound moral dimension. Even if it's a story, even if it's a banal story, they don't write banal stories, but some of them, you feel the a moral commitment of people. And so I don't really think I faced the situation of having to distinguish between the two. Where was my moral commitment? And where was the literature? No, they merged. They merged.
Former President Václav Havel was himself one of the many guests at the Canadian residence who well remembers those days. And this is how he summed up the recent event.
S některými z těch lidí jsem se viděl po 25 nebo 30.
I saw some of the people here for the first time in 25 or 30 years, so it even took a moment to recognize who was who. I think the event was excellent and was a reminder of an important chapter from modern history, or of one aspect of the situation before the fall of the Iron Curtain. People forget, or even belittle it, but it really was important, and the Canadian diplomats who helped us deserve all our thanks and respect.
Diplomati, co nám pomáhali, zasluhují veškerý respekt a úctu.